For the poor
You do not have to pay me. I will do it for free. Just promise me that you will never distribute the contents of that drug to any human person.
And I bet that last band reminded me of Digested Flesh, which I might have to play later. Anyways, I am going to go ahead and play a song by Markadon before we get on to the interview, so you guys can enjoy this tune. This is an awesome song. This is Final Dying Breath.
We'll be right back.
Alright, we are back here on Black and Horde Radio. Ha! Are you there?
I am here!
Alright, you are here. I forgot to turn my speakers down because you're going to blast my ears otherwise.
That wouldn't be a good thing. Yeah, I can still hear it from the top.
Okay. And we are live, just so you know. It's been live since 9 o'clock. Eastern time zone. Okay. We should be good on volumes. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, you don't have to talk really loud.
Okay. I'll stand back from the microphone a little bit more.
Yeah, that probably would be better, otherwise you're going to sound distorted. Okay, so say hello again.
Oh, this is one of my first excursions into using Skype, so I'm still kind of getting used to it. Hey, someone sent me a text message that there's something wrong with the stream.
What? I just checked the stream a minute ago. Okay, I can hear us on the stream.
Okay.
You still need to turn your mic down on your end.
All right, no problem. We'll get this right in a minute.
Yeah. Because I sound fine, but you're just really loud.
How about now?
A little more.
How about now?
A little more.
A little more. Okay. How are we doing?
Okay, that's
good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's better?
Yeah, it's a lot better on your end.
Okay.
Alright, I'm just gonna adjust my end a little more. That's the problem with live. Because you never know how it's gonna go. Alright. I think we are ready. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
I don't know who sent you text message saying the stream. Tell them to reload the page because I just... Okay, yeah. Drew just sent me a message on Facebook saying he can hear us loud and clear. So tell them to reload. Okay. Because I don't know what the... issue is.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go on the other computer and try it out, and if it works, I'll come back and we'll get started properly.
Alright, so I will wait for him to come back. And while he's gone, I will tell you guys about some upcoming shows that may be coming. Let me get to my website. Some flyers up. Okay. Alright. For, everyone already knows about the Wildman Entertainment show, the Middle Halloween Bash. Tomorrow night, at the Brass Mountain. However, if you can't make it to that one, there is another show in Tampa.
Hey, I just want you to know that I've got it on the other line.
Okay, is it working for you? Cause it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's working for me, and Drew said he can hear us loud and clear. Okay.
All right, I got another request to lower my mic.
Yeah, your mic is real loud again.
Okay, we're good. We're good. I'm good.
A little more.
This is the best I could do without turning it off.
Okay. Say something.
I'm live. Okay, so I'm ready to get started when you are. Hi, everybody. Don't you love these technical difficulties?
No, I sure don't. Anyways, I hope everyone can hear us loud and clear now. Say one more thing just so I can see how your mic is. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I think it sounds good. You're not getting into any red. Just talk normal. Don't put the mic close to your face. And...
No, it's attached to my laptop, so there's not really much control I have over it.
Okay. Anyways, we're going to get this interview started. Alright, so go ahead and tell everyone who you are, first of all.
Well, my name is Haniel. I'm the lead guitar player and vocalist for a symphonic black metal, death metal band from Florida called Marfordon. And, I'm really happy to be here. Thanks, Summon, for setting this up. I think this is awesome. Really happy to be here. And this is a really great opportunity to get out there and reach some of the fans. And some people haven't had a chance to meet me yet and talk a little bit about what the project's about and what the plans are for the band.
All right. Hello. Okay.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
All right. So tell us the final update on the lineup.
Okay. The lineup right now for the recording is pretty much the full-time lineup. It's myself playing, the guitars, doing the vocals. I'm going to be doing all the bass on this recording too, but we're probably not going to be doing that in the future. We're going to find a full-time bass player because I can't play bass and play guitar at the same time live. So obviously we're trying to find somebody to replace me for that. I'm also playing guitar synthesizer, which is going to be a lot of fun because it's something that's kind of an obscure instrument. A lot of people really don't know about it. Basically what it is, it's a guitar that I have set up and fitted with some electronics so that I can play it like it's a keyboard. So you'll hear a lot of that on the album. There's even a couple of solos I'm doing with that. We have Tim Carter on drums, who is also in a band called American Party Machine. Tim's been great. He's really taken the bull by the horns and has laid down some amazing, amazing drum tracks. I'm so happy with him. We have Matt Farrington from the Garden Music School over in Winter Garden. He's been amazingly supportive. And he's playing French horn and fretless bass on this recording. And I think there are a couple of songs where he's contributing some trumpet. And we recorded those tracks before we got Chris King, who is going to be a full-time trumpet player. We're actually recording his tracks next week for the album. And he's been great. We recorded a couple of songs kind of to sort of demo them. And one of the songs that we did, I think you played a couple of times, Frenzy to Winter Sorrow. We did some trumpet harmonies in there that were a lot of fun to do. And we're also going to be playing a song later with him performing trumpet on. called No Redemption, No Forgiveness. That's an instrumental, which is one of the more experimental things that we've done yet. We have Alan Rea, who is the rhythm guitar player. He was able to perform on the song that you're going to hear, and he also did the rhythm guitars for Final Dying Breath and Frenzy Winter Sorrow. He lives about 1,000 miles away, so we're trying to work it out to get him and me in the same place at the same time so that we can really get him involved. But he's been awesome. He's really contributed a lot, and we're working on several of the projects right now. And did I leave anybody out? Oh, yes, Jonathan Katz, who is the timpani player on this. And it's really cool because it's like I'm working with Tim on drums, who is just an absolutely amazing drummer. And on the other side of the spectrum, I've got another drummer who's playing timpani and doing all this concert percussion. So it's really exciting to work with these guys because they're all really hardworking. They're all really talented. And there are some places where, you know, I feel like I'm kind of the weak link in the whole thing, and I need to step up my game and improve my own playing so that I can kind of keep up with the guys. They're really amazing musicians, and I couldn't have asked for any better situation than I'm in now.
All right. And just a little joke in here. Drew says you have a loud mouth, but he's just kidding.
I have a loud mouth?
It's a joke.
Well, apparently he hasn't heard the vocals.
No, he's not.
There's a reason why I talk loudly is because I also scream very, very loudly. I'm proud of that. I'm also a public speaker for a living, so, you know, one of my idols is Anthony Robbins, so, I mean, you know, that's a guy who's got a very loud voice. I've also got a very sensitive microphone on my laptop, so. Tell him if he wants to really hear my loud mouth to listen to the album with the vocals on it.
Well, we don't want it on here, otherwise it'll be very distorted.
No problem.
Anyways, let's go on. Tell us about the additional instruments.
Okay. Well, I think the one that kind of jumps out the most is probably the timpani. And for those of you who might not know what timpani are, is they're these big, gigantic kettle drums. And if you go to a symphony orchestra and you see like the guy in a tuxedo off on the far left with these big drums and these huge mouths and just whacking on them like you know, like really beating on them really hard, those are the timpani. And they're really pronounced in soundtracks like Conan the Barbarian. Anybody that's ever heard the soundtrack to the original Battleship Galactica, or that movie The Black Hole, or it's the timpani really come out and they're really pronounced as the percussion instrument. And there was a band that I heard back in 1991 or 92 called Master's Hammer that used full-time timpani and a drummer, and I thought it was the coolest idea, and I haven't really heard a band do anything like that since. I know Septic Flesh did a little bit of timpani and maybe in a couple of places, but we really wanted to make it a full-time instrument because timpani, they're a percussion instrument, but they're also a pitched instrument. So it gives us a lot of room where we can actually use the timpani to create like different types of harmonies or to kind of enhance the overall mood and the tone of the music. So it was an interesting experiment because we didn't have anything else to go on, because outside of Master's Hammer, we did it on one album 20 years ago, we really didn't have much to go on. So when we did the timpani recording in August, we did everything but one song, which we're going to do in a couple of weeks. We had no idea how to approach it as far as how to mic it and how to layer everything and whether we should use four or five. It was just something that we sort of had to learn as we went along. And from what I was able to hear, and I think you guys will hear it later on in the interview when we play the song, it really did exceed my expectations. It's a pain in the butt to mix, but it did exceed my expectations because it almost as if sounded like, you know, I can't imagine doing Markregon without timpani being part of this. So John did a great job. We did a couple of different unorthodox techniques with as far as using the timpani, as far as the mallets that he was using to hit them. And we really focused on the 31-inch and the 29-inch timpani, and we used the other ones, the smaller ones, as kind of like additional accompaniment for those two. So you'll hear it on the album, and on the song that we have here, we're using, I think, four of the five timpani that we recorded with. The next couple of instruments that we used were also pretty interesting. We're using French horn, trumpet, and a full brass section. We've even got some trombone in some parts. I'm going to be using, I think, flugel when we record the rest of Chris's parts next week. Now, I like keyboards. Don't get me wrong. I think they sound great, but it got to the point with me where I sat down with Matt, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, you know, I could do a lot of keyboard and ensemble stuff on the guitar synthesizer, and he said, well, I play French horn, so why don't we see how that sounds? So last year, we experimented with some French horn, and I loved it, and he thought it was great, and he's not really into metal, so if he likes it, then it's the sort of thing that I can kind of go along with, because he's got some pretty high standards, believe me. But it was great, and then we incorporated the trumpet, and I think on Friends of Buona Sorrow we have Alex Ragazzi playing trombone for us on it. So instead of using keyboards for the bigger, more symphonic and triumphant parts, you're going to be hearing trumpet, trombone, French horn, and a full brass section, which is really exciting for me because I've always wanted to kind of do something a little bit different with that. We're also going to be using some. We haven't recorded all of it yet, but we're going to be using some additional percussion instruments. We use like a concert crash cymbal, a concert bass drum, something called Certo, which is going to have some kind of cameo appearances on the album. And Certo is like this gigantic garbage can of a floor tom. It's huge. It's like 3.5 feet. I don't know how big it is, but it's a pretty big instrument. So we're going to be using that with some of the, you know, in some parts. And we're also going to be recording before the end of the month for the title track on the album, a percussion ensemble, which is something that kind of sort of popped out of the blue because we have this section in the song, which, again, you'll hear on the album. And so we're using a variety of different instruments. We're even going to be squeezing in a little bit of didgeridoo and some djembe, especially on the title track song. And then on the last song, we've got a lot more guitar synthesizer. We've got more that we're doing as far as the horns. And it's pretty exciting to be doing, you know, harmonies with a trumpet player of Chris's caliber. I mean, I just think I'm having such a great time with this. I can't even begin to tell you.
That's awesome. All right, go ahead and tell us about who all is doing the production, the master, and the mixing.
You're pretty much talking to the guy who's doing most of it. you know, like, as far as all the recording, I've had some experiences over the past couple of years, which was one of the reasons why the project has been delayed as much as it has been. I was working with a couple of different studios and a couple of different engineers. You know, some people that were doing it out of their house, some people that had like a full treated studio, and they all dropped the ball. I mean, I hate to say that, but it really, I just wasn't getting the kind of commitment that I needed. I was spending money on it, and it just wasn't working out. So I decided to kind of take matters into my own hands, and I got together with, you know, with Matt and with him, and we recorded the drums ourselves, and somebody that works at Garden Music School, Shay, he did a great job helping us out with the drum recording, you know, being a really good assistant and, you know, helping me set up the room and everything. He did a really great job. But, you know, then we started listening to the drum recordings, and they came out pretty good. So after that, we just decided to just, you know, have me take over and just really put in the time and the work in order to get the recording done. But I'm not going to be doing all of the technical stuff myself, because obviously I'm a guitar player by trade, so going and just picking up on the mixing would be a little bit too complicated for me to do on my own, especially with the horns, with the timpani, and with all this other crazy stuff that we're trying to do. So I've decided to go back to a studio that I've been pretty friendly with for a couple of years now, YRS MIDI systems in Castleberry. George has been, you know, he's been really great, been really helpful. So we're going to be going there, and I'm going to be doing the mixing there under his consultation with his assistant. And we're going to be sending the files to be mastered by David Chang in the UK. And he's been awesome. We've been talking a lot the past couple of days. He's been giving me some advice. We've been talking about recording and musical philosophy, which is really great. It's one of the reasons why I like him so much, because he takes such a very deep philosophical approach to mixing and mastering music. But essentially, the entire production falls on my shoulders, and I think it's probably better for me to do it this way, because this way I can really put the time in and you know, really dedicate the effort that's needed in order to get the sound that we're looking for. Now, is this going to be something that's going to be perfect? No, obviously, it's the first release in this entire project, so we're experimenting with a lot of different things, and we're also doing it on a shoestring budget, which is essentially whatever I have in my pocket right now. But the point is to do something that is sincere and something that's authentic as much as we possibly can without doctoring it up too much in the studio and without, you know, trying to have almost like a generic approach to it. Everything about this, right from the instrumentation to the recording, even the song structures, we're just trying to experiment with everything. The two songs that we gave you and that we released earlier were probably the more, I guess, conventional of the songs that we have on the album, but the next four are very unconventional as far as the way that they're put together. So the whole production had to go through me in order for me to really hone in on as far as the actual vision of the way the music was supposed to turn out.
All right. And when will the album be released?
Well, I've had some people get on me the past couple of weeks because they've been waiting for it, because I've been talking about releasing it since May of this year. But like I said, we had some delays, and we also recruited some new members. So it was for the best, because the music has improved tremendously in the past 6 months. And like I said, I've never been happier with the turnout and with the outcome than I have been now. But the date that we have committed to, that I've submitted to the record label who's going to be distributing the album digitally, is December 21st, 2012. Which is supposed to be, according to the Mayan calendar, the end of the world.
Nice.
So, for those of you out there who know what I'm talking about, it has been predicted, it has been foretold for 6,000 years at this date that Ceremonial Abnegation is supposed to finally come out, is going to be the very, very last day of the Mayan calendar. And for those of you who don't know, I've been working on this for 15 years. In fact, like, I don't know what my adult life would be like without me working on this project. And the fact that it's finally coming out is an enormous, huge, epic deal, worthy of the world crashing into the sun, you know, like 4 days before Christmas. And doesn't it stink that it happens 4 days before Christmas? Couldn't it happen, like, you know, the day after New Year's, when all of us are too hungover to figure out what's going on?
Yeah,
I mean, really.
Yeah, right? Just like the whole 2000 thing.
Yeah. But yeah, that's when it's going to be released digitally, and we're looking to do the double CD Digipack that's going to have some extras and some cool stuff on it, and a new EP at some point by February.
All right. So when you first started the project, you were not going to play live, so why have you decided to change your mind and play live?
Well, I think the first thing that happened was I didn't think I was going to be doing this with anybody else other than me. I thought I was just going to program the drums, that I was going to do everything with guitar synthesizer, I was just going to, you know, record everything on a four-track, get it over with, and then just pretty much quit music altogether. And this was about 3 years ago. And then something happened. Matt and I, we started working on some material, and it sounded really good. And then I started jamming with Tim a lot. And my confidence kind of got a little bit more. I'm not going to lie. You know, before that, I was just, you know, it was just the sort of thing that I just need to get out of the way. So my confidence as a guitar player had dramatically improved when I started working with him. And he's just such an awesome drummer, and he's so much fun to play music with that it was almost a no-brainer to go and get that whole setup that we were working on in front of people. And then it just spiraled into this madness where now we're looking at getting the timpani live, we're looking at getting a full horn section live, you know, and if it turns out that I'm going to be playing guitar synthesizer live, I might have to have a second guitar player to play a lot of my parts if we're going to duplicate whatever it is that I'm doing on the album, because there are a couple of places here and there where I'm doing three-part harmony with guitar synthesizer guitar and with the second guitar. So it's something that just sort of evolved and morphed into something I just didn't plan. And I'm happy with that. And we're really looking to go and fill out that last position, which is a bassist and somebody else to help out with some of the vocals live, to go and perform this material in front of people. And if we can find a venue that has a stage large enough for us to go and fit timpani on it, that'll be a pretty wild experience for anybody who's never actually seen that before. And I've never heard of anybody using timpani full-time live at a club show with a death metal band. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to. And we're also looking for alternates and for extra horn players so that we can have the full ensemble live instead of, you know, because we need more horns live instead of just the two or three people we're working with now.
All right, so now let's talk about the new song. What is the name of it and how was it recorded?
Well, it's called No Redemption, No Forgiveness. It's an instrumental. And as this band evolves, instrumentals and instrumental parts are going to be more of a focus of this band. Because with the alternate instrumentation that we have, it just gives us a means of expressing things without using words. So we're going to be using more and more instrumentalism on the upcoming recordings. And by the way, I just made up that word, instrumentalism.
Yeah.
I just don't know how else to explain it. But we're trying to use non-lyrical parts, non-verbal parts as a means of expression and expressing moods as well. But this is an instrumental, and the real main focus of it is obviously the timpani and the horns. It's somewhat incomplete because it is just a demo version, but it's something that's worthy of listening to. And it doesn't have a couple of components to it. Like, we're looking to add another horn track to it. And, you know, we'll talk more about that after you play the song as far as what we're looking to do with the song if need be. But it's, I think, the third or the fourth song on the album, and it's about, I guess the image is that it's almost like a dirge, almost like a funeral dirge in a way. And it was heavily, heavily influenced by the Conan the Barbarian soundtrack. So I'm pretty excited about it, Jonathan did a great job with the timpani on it, in my opinion, and I'm really happy with the horns. It's pretty simple, but you know, it was a lot of fun to do.
All right.
And I recorded everything on this album. All the parts were recorded with a Zoom R24 with the 8 inputs on it, and just processed everything myself. So it's not perfect, but this is just a demo version. There's going to be a superior quality version on the album that's going to be released in just a couple months.
Okay, so we are going to go ahead and play the song.
Oh, really? Oh, awesome.
But I'm going to have to put the Skype call on hold so I don't blast your ears out. So.
No problem.
So here is the new song by Marcadon, No Redemption, No Forgiveness.
We'll be right back.
And we are back. Are you still there? Okay. I have no idea where.